You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 74 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and I'm in my backyard with a bunch of people. They're super excited. So let's see. Let's see if we can get everybody real quick. So we got Marcel, Nathan, Elliot, Brandon, Blaine, Nate, Allie, Sarah, Richard, Jeremy, Al, and June. So this is our funeral pyre for first edition. Anybody who's listening to this in their car next week, you can go on YouTube and see the footage. We're about to light it. I don't know how impressive it's going to be to start.
It's going to be a weak fire.
But but we have a bunch of cards to throw in there. We got some good wood, and we're going to be wood jokes. We'll be discussing a bunch of stuff pertaining to first edition and our transition into second edition. So we'll get this started.
Unlock the hologram.
Let's talk about our upcoming live streams we have coming up. This upcoming weekend, August 31st through Sunday, Gold Squadron Podcast will be streaming the United States National Championship at the Nova Open. And we're also going to be hosting a panel. I'm the moderator for a panel talking about second edition, including having Alex Davey, one of the co-designers for second edition, on the panel. So if you have any questions you'd like me to field for him that would be appropriate in that setting, go ahead and put it in the comments or message it to me, email it to me, whatever. Upcoming big events, Gold Squadron Classic! So if you can make it down to the Gold Squadron area here in Chicago, September 22nd, you can be a part of that. Should be a lot of fun. Go to GoldSquadronPodcast.com to sign up. We're going to have a cash bar. We're going to be having food. And everybody who pre-registers gets an exclusive second edition alt art card. Only if you pre-register.
Oh my God, yeah.
And that should be lots of fun.
A special drink list?
Yes.
So let's get started here. Let's start our first topic here. What got you into X-Wing? We have the mic right there. Blaine, you're first.
Oh, I got to go first.
I mean, you're right by the mic, so we'll...
You have the booming voice. Go for it, bud.
All right. So I guess what got me into X-Wing is I'm originally from Minnesota, so I'm down here for school, and I've got some friends back home who started playing, I think, either Wave 6 or Wave 7. And I watched them play for a while. It seemed like a really cool game. We're all pretty big into Star Wars, so watching them and then just wanting to be a part of it with my friends. So that's really what started things off.
All right, pass it that way.
What? Well, I thought it was Armada at first. That's why I got it.
Honesty.
And then I'm like, oh, small ships. Okay, I guess that's fun too. And that was it.
Yeah. Keep it going.
Yeah, I got into it when my friend did a demo with me with a second core set. And so I started playing after that and went to Pastimes and played with other guys there. And it was nice to be able to just play a nice game of X-Wing with some friendly people. So I kind of stuck with it.
Cool.
I got into X-Wing. My name's Nathan Oglesby. And Patrick Oglesby, my cousin, is the whole reason I'm in X-Wing. So it's all his fault.
There you go.
Hi, I'm Nate. I got an X-Wing back like when PAX came out, PAX East, and we tested it out like back in the day when there was like no ships or anything and it was unavailable anywhere. But I tried it out with friends. I'm like, oh man, this game is fun. And then I proceeded to be unable to buy it anywhere because it was sold out everywhere. And that was back before like bombers were out. So that was a fun time.
Cool.
I guess I got into X-Wing because I started dating a guy who was rather attached to it, and I realized I would never see him again if I did not.
My name is Sarah. Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
And I got into X-Wing as one of the first miniature games with my friend, and we just kind of chilled.
My name is Richard, and I actually got into X-Wing because of my wife. She's the one that got me into this miniature game.
Oh, what? That's gender swap roles. That's love interesting. It. That's really cool.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I got into X-Wing because I wanted to play Star Trek Attack Wing, but there was no one at Pastimes who played it, so I played X-Wing instead.
Fair. Totally fair. Al?
I'm Al. I got an X-Wing during first system open. That's how I got into X-Wing.
There you go. Marcel, how'd you get into X-Wing?
No, I got into it through my brother Conrad. He bought the game during the Force Awakens movie. Yep. And no cursing, right?
Yeah.
He kicked my butt at everything else, so I figured find someone to kick his butt.
It was your time.
Yeah, it was my turn.
So myself, actually, we'll just keep it over there and we'll roll it back. Yeah. Probably the easiest. For myself, my buddy Chris Kuzminoff, he's really big into like 40K and Warhammer. I don't know actually which one it is. It's either Warhammer or War Machine. I don't care, to be completely honest. But so sure. But his thought was he wanted to like rope me into miniatures. It was like miniatures light. And then that would be in. But the problem is that I was addicted right away. Yeah. And I obviously I've never looked back. Now we got Gold Squadron podcast and all the stuff we're doing now. So I'm way too far in. Yeah, correct. So yeah, that's how I got in. Say that into the microphone because it wasn't.
So new Patreon reward. If we get up to a certain level here, Dion will get the X-Wing tramp stamp. Right, lower back, middle, beautiful. We'll even work it out. So, oh, the trench run. Oh, beautiful.
So I will put that. Listen. I'll take that. I'll take that. So here's the goal set up right now. So right now on Patreon, the next one is if we reach the goal, we're going to attempt to do an international event to stream. The one after that is actually to make this the full-time job. That's the goal after that. We'll go ahead and take the next one, the next highest step, and that'll be the X-Wing tramp step. Of course, that's the thing that's going to blow it up, right? Right. That's how I become a professional podcaster. The Real Fun Bobby says, I found it on clearance at Target. Mistakes were made. Fair. Alrighty, so next thing is, what is your favorite memory from X-Wing First Edition?
Was at regionals or store championships a few years back, and this was the first time I was playing the Snap Crackle Pop A-Wings, and my second opponent, he had no clue what was going on. I explained it to him, and I still don't think he had a clue, so he ponied a ghost right up front. Range one of all five A-Wings, like the second turn of the game. I snapshotted everyone, every A-Wing hit, got rid of the crack shots, and then we went into the actual shooting phase, and after turn two, there was no more ghost.
As there should be. Al?
I guess my first one was, Indiana Regionals when I made second day.
There you go.
First time.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, it's got to be the Gen Con final match against Francois.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tie between that one and Worlds Round 9 beating Paul Heaver to go 8-1 and make the cut.
Yeah.
Because at that time, Paul Heaver was three-time champion.
Yep.
So that was kind of a – that was probably even better than the Gen Con one just because, you know, the whole
– yep.
Beating on the Godfather.
That was our first recorded match for Gold Squadron podcast ever. Yep. Was that one. Yeah.
Yep.
Where we had it up on YouTube. Here's Richard.
Yeah, so mine also is with a couple A-Wings, except my target was a little bit bigger. It was a Raider. We brought eight snap A's, and she blew most of them away, not a big deal, but followed right behind it the rest of the game and just slowly killed it to death with one or two shots, couldn't get an arc. Oh, yeah, she was ticked.
I think mine was this year doing a store championship at Grognard, actually, and sticking it through, and my reward was a Reaper.
mine's probably also making day two of Gen Con last year.
Right.
When I just started playing, besides like just hanging out with the community.
I got two quick ones. I remember like, was it Assault to Imdar Alpha when the, when Kornhorn, like when the E-Wing and the Phantom and all that stuff was coming out. I was so excited, and I never had really done well at X-Wing, but for that reason, like that tournament, just everything went just right, because if you won that store tournament, you got one of the four new ships, and that was so exciting. And somehow I was able to do just enough and kill just enough so that I could place. I got fourth, and I think I went home with the Phantom, and I was like so happy. Or what was it, like with Whisper and Echo?
I didn't go to that. Yes, the Phantom.
But it was so long ago, and everything was so awesome. And everything was just, we were like there until 1 o'clock in the morning, and I brought my 10-year-old brother with me, and my parents were yelling at me and screaming like, you need to bring him home, and everything. It was great. The other one was when like me, Marcel, and Allie drove all the way to like Canada in the middle of the night, driving 8 hours, and which was, we got to our hotel, we were all dead tired, and the people were really mean to us as we checked in and everything. We woke up way too early, had no sleep, and showed up at the event way too early because we were too excited, only to do like Canadian Nationals. And somehow, like, I made it to day two, and like Ellie and Marcel kept on going, it's okay, don't worry, Nate's gonna get knocked out, and we'll go see Toronto. I was going up against Duncan Howard first round. I'm like, oh well, Nate's not gonna be Duncan, and then, you know, like what's gonna happen is, don't worry, well, he'll lose. And I was like, yeah, well, I'll lose, and then I'll go see the old Canada in Toronto. And then I didn't lose, and I went again, so I'm like, don't worry, Nate's gonna lose the next one. I didn't, and it just kept going, and we kept on staying, and people kept drinking, and I got to the top table, and I was like, oh my god, I'm at the top table.
Then you crap the bed.
And then I crapped the bed in the worst way. Like, I was so burnt out and so tired from like not sleeping for 3 days in a row. And I was like, yeah, how can I throw this game? Yeah. And I did a very bad job.
Success.
But that was really awesome.
Thanks, Marcel.
I've got actually two short ones. One was the first time I used 10 num with a Mangler cannon to get a major explosion direct hit on Soonterfell.
Nice.
Like, that was just... I remember that happened a couple times, but the first time was absolutely golden. The second time was actually early on when I was playing against my friends back in Minnesota. I would get real frustrated when I lost. Like, I'd get mad at myself. I'd just, you know, be kind of surly. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time where I lost and I was happy about it. Like, I played well, and I was like, I did, you know, you can't beat the dice if the dice aren't, you know, if you don't got the luck that day, that's just how it is. But I remember quite well being at a friend's house and actually, like I said, losing that game, but just being really excited about how I played. And for me, I like tried to carry that forward, and it really changed my attitude towards the game big time.
Nice.
I have no idea. Like, I can't think of anything.
You had the whole
there's
thing.
So many. I want to come up with something that wasn't just like I won something. Traveling with you guys at regionals and stuff.
Yeah, like, strong.
Whether you go like 6-0 or 0-6, it's like fun. So, yeah. Sure.
One of my favorite X-Wing moments was I was very early on when I was playing. I was at the league. We were at the store Pastimes. I was playing against Al, and he was flying double decimators, and he had one of his decimators. So. Here I am, I'm like a novice Imperial player, and Al is trying to, like, you know, bring me up to speed on things. But I'm just doing my own thing. But during that game, he had one of his decimators with Rebel Captive and Grand Moff Jared.
Yep.
And so he gets a crit, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna throw the Rebel Captive out of the ship. I'm like, you're throwing him out the airlock. And we started laughing so hard in the middle of the store. And it just, you know... It's like fun moments like that in X-Wing are really cool. So that's one of my favorite memories from X-Wing.
I think my favorite memory is probably the first 5 or 6 months of coming to Pastimes with the squad and losing every game. Like, straight six months of losing. And then breaking that with winning that Halloween tournament.
Yeah, you know? the Ragul.
Oh, my God, that was amazing.
For myself... after playing a couple games, I was super excited. This was still very early on. And I was telling Chris, the guy who taught me how to play, I was like, man, you know, I wish I could figure out how to get these guys turned around faster. I can't figure it out because I didn't realize that the K-turn was a K-turn that literally turns you 180 degrees. So just that moment where I just felt like, oh, that's what an arrow, you know, basically doing a loop does. We laughed just super hard when the thing is that he had done K-turns in our games, right? And I just was like, oh, I guess that move's not on my spinny thing. Yeah, felt super stupid. That was great. I think we're ready to feed the fire. Let's get some more stuff in there. So our next question here, our next point of discussion is what is a ship that right, broke rule number one. What is a ship that you believe never had its opportunity to shine in first edition, or that you personally never got to fly in first edition? It just never happened. Like,
it would have been nice to see the A-Wing at the top table at Worlds.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how many memes I made, they never fixed the TIE Punisher. And, you know, it never had its day. It just was too many points, even with unguided rockets and lightweight frame and trajectory simulator. Without all, you know, you put all that stuff on it, still just crap. So hopefully in 2.0 we'll see the rise of the Punisher.
It's First Order shuttle, the Batman looking thing?
Yeah, the Upsilon.
I think it's just crap. It's too expensive to do anything.
So. Yeah.
Along those lines, I never flew the U-Wing. I think I flew against one or two, maybe. So I don't think that ship ever had its due from get-go. I mean, it had great upgrade cards in that box, but the ship itself, definitely not.
It was the expertise expansion.
One thing that actually beat my butt, like in the first tournament I ever went to, it was a doubles tournament and everything, was the Outer Rim Smuggler. Which, like, to me, is still like the worst ship ever created. And I don't think it ever actually did anything except for that doubles tournament where they had two Falcons and two Outer Rim Smugglers that they threw at us. And I was like, oh my God, this is overpowered.
All the turrets,
all the time.
I'm also with Lane. I never flew the U-Wing. And every time I flew against it, which was a couple more times than you probably did, it did not last long.
You flew it against it in multiples in Wisconsin, right?
I know. The four U-Wings.
Yeah.
Four U-Wings, best squad ever.
I flew it and got seventh. I don't want to hear it.
He was.
U-Wings, man. You have most beautiful ship.
What, like Derek U-Wing?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, so mine was basically, because I only played the Empire, was the Silencer. I played it myself in one list, but that was really it. Never
that,
saw it.
That hurts my heart.
At all.
That hurts my heart. The Silencer.
For me, it was never really the U-Wing, because I've actually flown four and did all right with them. but no, for me, it was actually the bomber, the BSF bomber. You don't see it enough on the table, I think. Besides,
I think late it kind of jumped up a little bit,
but not enough, really.
Crimson Specialist or whatever his name is.
I've only flown it about four or five times, and I just couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a ship that was around from the time I started years and years ago, but never really saw get any use, was the Slave One. Like, I saw people play it occasionally, but I felt like it never was like a tier one or even a tier two ship. It was always kind of like, oh, hey, someone's playing the Slave One. That's kind of gimmicky or,
right.
Yeah, someone did it. But no one ever, like, really seriously played it. Even ships I really like the A-Wing or the Star Viper that maybe didn't get a lot of play,
right.
They still, both of them kind of maybe had their day at one point.
Mm.
But the Slave One, I don't think it ever came.
Agreed.
So I would have to say the Upsilon Shuttle.
Okay.
You'd never see it on a table. Mm-hmm. People thought that you could put Palpatine on it, but it's too many points.
Yep.
Probably the Jumpmaster. No, I'd say, that's going to be 2.0, right?
You're right. 2.0.
Foreshadowing. No, the Quad Jumper. I think the Quad Jumper had a lot of nice toys. I put it on the table. Every time I put it on the table, I had fun with it, but was never able to put it on a table anywhere real competitive. And I don't think anybody really did ever.
Yeah.
So that was a nice little ship that had a nice little reverse, and nobody really did anything with it.
Agreed. Here in the chat, Kano Smash says, I remember beating Dion with 3 A-Wings and New Han at Gen Con a few years ago. I remember that game. it was a great game. Love you, Dion. For myself, I never got to put the... what's that ship called? The Kimugila. I know that it was really good, but I never personally got to put it on the table. But we did talk about things that didn't get his day. The Punisher, for sure. I think it's probably the biggest offense, I think, out of all of them. The G1A, people still tried with the G1A. I think most people just, like, straight looked at the Punisher and went, nah, I'm good. except for Elliot. Elliot.
I never gave up.
Elliot never gave up. The next thing I want to talk about here is the transition into pain, right? When was the first moment that you realized or thought that we probably needed something major to change to save X-Wing?
I believe was the I'll bomb you no matter where you are, Miranda.
Yeah, okay.
I think what it was for me was all these combinations that would give people target locks, focuses, you know, you name it, and then they're just these heavily modified dice rolls that, and as an Imperial player, you know, you're depending on your agility to save your ships so many times. So it was these really heavily modified combinations that for me was like, well, there's no way an Imperial ship can survive if they're able to modify all of their attacks every single turn. And so for me, that was just sort of saying, like, something's got to give with these obscene combinations of upgrades that just result in really, really consistent dice output. You know, if you're not getting that variance, then it's really harder for these ships with high agility to survive. That was what it was for me.
Mine's kind of old. It was the Gunner-Vader combo.
Mm.
And then just destroying everyone's day who brought Sinterfell and Whisper.
Mm-hmm.
Just sticking it on Chirino.
Yep.
Yeah, that's when I thought, hey, you're like just straight up making these ships like have no purpose.
I think my first inkling was when the Defenders got their titles. I was like, okay, pushing damage through on these things just became incredibly hard.
Yep.
Followed up by Fairship. When that started becoming popular, I was like, okay, I'm getting really frustrated at the fact that if I don't have, like, a perfect roll and a perfect setup, I can't do any damage. And then when Ghost Finn showed up, it was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
that
done.
That pushed it over the edge for sure.
For sure.
I think mine, and a lot of people are going to hate me for this, but, like, the Jump Masters were, like, my bane. Because I felt like they were too efficient with everything.
Oh, you're not wrong.
No, they're just, like,
I'm not going to argue with you.
They could do everything all the time. And you're just like, how could it do all these things? And then they kept on, you can tell that a ship was too strong when they tried to nerf it like 3 or 4 times and it kept on making all the top tables. And just didn't matter what I did or what and anything, it was just like, oh, I lost or oh, I lost. And that's why I was like, man, there's really something. That and the whole like a Ezra Maul.
So like, instead you flew like a bigger Jumpmaster called Rey.
There was only one though. No, because well, here's the thing. It's like when 3 Jump Masters would come at you, they could throw out like the missiles, which was plasma at the time, and there wasn't anything you could really do because nothing was going to really survive that volley.
For sure.
And then they'd do it again, and it didn't matter because even if you tried to get one down, they just fly away, come back at you. Because if you survived it, you still weren't going to be able to kill one. And they're just that one just then becomes a blocker, and you're never getting away again. Because they just surround you, they block you, they use the intelligence agent, and there's no way you're getting out.
Yep.
And so that was ridiculous. I thought that was just so ridiculous. And then when they nerf three cards, four cards, five cards, all the cards, and they still make top table. It's like, whatever.
Mine was probably the first ghost I went against was actually Ghost Fen. I never went against it before that. But, like, logically speaking, I thought for Underground TLT, it really should have to be equipped to the shuttle. Like, I could not understand how it got TLT without that.
Right, okay, I get that. I get that.
Again, being an Empire-only player, going against anything Rebel with high agility really made it hard to beat the list.
I think the moment I thought we needed a major change would probably be when we got auto thrusters. And it seems odd, but it's because that was the moment I realized that in order to fix balance issues that existed in the game, we couldn't just go back and add something, because whenever we added something like auto thrusters, it was going to lead to power creep. And whenever there's power creep, that means that you got to go back, so you got to fix everything one at a time.
Yep.
And that's when I realized that, no, there's no ever getting this all in balance. We got to, like, do a full reset in order to get it to come. And that's kind of all when that started. But there were kind of the inklings before that, but that's the big moment.
The combination between a TLT and a Harpoon.
Like Nim Miranda?
Nim Miranda.
Yeah.
That, or when first TLT came out, it was consistent damage.
Yep.
And you couldn't do nothing about it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think for me, the one that, it was actually a game that I won, but I shouldn't have. It was when I was flying Quick Draw, Backdraft, and Riad at the Ohio Regional. And I flew against the three K-Wing bomb droppers. And just leading up to that, I was like, this is an auto loss. And even finding a way to win it, it was just no fun whatsoever. It was basically being scared the whole time of, no matter where I end up, I'm going to get bombed.
Yep.
And I just got lucky that I kept on rolling blanks on my self-bomb when he kept on putting bombs on me.
Yeah.
I kept on getting no damage on it. Otherwise, it's... But yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. So for myself, I remember having a range one shot into an Inquisitor. I got four hits. I was like, I'm definitely doing damage. He goes, focus, evade, Palpatine. Take no damage. I was like, But I had to work so hard to get those four hits. I remember the first time that happened was like, man. And it happened a few other times in that game. And I remember just like there was that time like when Palpatine had his peak, when like the defenders were big and stuff like that, where it was just really hard to get damage into these super high agility, really consistent, like be able to throw all blanks. And at range three, being able to for sure dodge three hits, just like no matter what, with Palpatine, Evade, and Auto Thrusters. Like, that was the first time being like, oh, something's wrong. Which then, like Jeremy was talking about, led into the creep of, well, now we need, you know, things that hit even harder to get past the Auto Thrusters. And like, oh, now we need things that can defend against these things. We raise the power level of then. Our next question here. Is now we know that for sure we're getting second edition. Like, it's happening. We have a lot of the stuff already. We have we've been playing second edition at past times. We recorded a bunch of games. We're going to be doing that this week as well. We're playing a bunch of different lists to try to figure out what's good. Now, the question is, what are you looking forward to in second edition? Not necessarily ships, but... maybe things that are different in the tournament structure, abilities. I mean, just something that's different.
Anyway, so I think the whole no 360 turret,
yep,
all the way around every turn is good, and something that I'm looking forward to is finding a way to make the triple jumps version 3.0. So we'll get it.
I'd have to probably be for to get less squad building, less about hopefully. This is hopefully, because we don't know yet.
Right.
Hopefully, less about just conforming to whatever the current meta is and more about just being able to take just about any ship you really want to play out. And as long as you can put that ship in an ideal location on the board, being able to do well in the game. Because in 1.0, it got to the point where you could fly an A-Wing or anything else like that perfectly, and you were still going to lose. Mm-hmm. And it's my hope that between the bullseye arcs, the changes to the way actions work and everything else, that maneuvering itself is going to be way more important.
Cool.
Plus, I'm good at that.
I agree, my friend.
I'm a big Epic player, and actually, I'm really... I'm really curious as to how second edition is going to affect that and what changes that they're even going to make to Epic ships when that eventually comes out, hopefully.
Like, I'm just excited to try, like, ships I have absolutely never flown before, just because they were like, well, if you put that on the board, it's going to die.
So. I think it'll be interesting to see friends and things we haven't seen in forever again. I think that'll be fun to see, like, in balancing. Balancing, like, in a quicker, faster way. I'm excited for that stuff, too. Just, you know, too many ships that we said, this you can't fly this, you can't use this, it's not competitive, you know, it won't work and everything because there's too many things. But now it's like we're bringing balance back to the forest or something.
Well, isn't it a beautiful thing that, like, when if someone were to walk into the store this upcoming Wednesday and ask us, what's good in second edition, we all go,
we got everything right
just,
now.
Just
we
click something and fly it. We have no idea, right? We can pretend and try to guess, but I think we'll talk about that later. But yes, continue.
I think to piggyback off of what Dion and Allie were saying is, honestly, I'm looking forward to kind of rediscovering the game, like figuring out what I like to fly in second edition, like what is really entertaining to me. Because I know for myself, I've been in a rut. There's like three builds that I would just kind of rotate between and trying to be at least somewhat competitive. And so now it's just like it's open territory. Don't, like you were just saying, you don't know what's going to be good. So being able to think that something, hey, this might work, let's see, and actually go into it not knowing like this is going to be terrible, you know, or this is going to be great, you know, mm-hmm. just that exploration. I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to resleeving hundreds of tiny little cards. Oh, those are not tiny.
No, they're not tiny anymore, Brandon. Just
buying bigger sleeves.
The thing I'm looking forward to in 2.0 is, I know that there's always going to be popular lists that people talk about on the internet, but I think a lot of times what we'll see is Dark Horse lists that people have been practicing, really getting good at, that aren't necessarily in the consciousness of the internet, and they're going to come into tournaments and make waves. I think that's going to be something that happens from time to time, and I think that's going to be cool because it's going to say, oh, well, you didn't think about flying these ships in this combination. You know, that wasn't in the popular mindset. So I think there's going to be a little bit more of that because there's just not as many powerful interactions that are like auto includes.
And I'm gonna let you finish, but I have to give you a shout out, man.
What?
For winning the last Chicagoland Store Championship with a non-meta list. Elliot takes out Ghost Fenn in the final with 5 bombers with unguided rockets and flightwave frame. Let's give him a round of applause. Hell yeah, man.
It was
down to
the last, literally the last dice roll decided the match. So it was not an easy thing. So, but yeah.
I'm looking forward to half points on all ships.
Yep.
I think that's huge. That's the biggest game changer out
there.
Stole
my answer. Damn.
You're not going to be able to run away with a 100-point ace or a 50-point ace, you know. It really brings the generics back.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, let's stick on that point here real quick because one thing that I really realized this week, like we started theorizing in our group chat that probably more ships are better than more upgrades. Like that is probably the way to go. And it was really evident when I was flying like a 3-ship list and you realize that it's really easy now for all those to go down into half, right? If you start having more ships now, it's going to take if your opponent has less ships than you do, it's going to take them more time to get them to half points. Thus, our overall meta, if you're talking about like point fortresses, might actually shift to wanting to have 4 to 6 to 7 ship builds, because it just takes more time now to take those half points away. Which, if that's the direction that the game goes, I think I'm okay with it, because the more ships on the table, the more fun, right?
That's really similar to the Wave 2-3 meta.
Okay.
Of a lot of TIE fighters, get as much on the board as you can. I remember when I started, which is, Brandon, do you remember early 2014? What is that? End of Wave 3?
3 and 4.
Yeah, yeah. That when I started, I was told, don't put a lot of upgrades on anything. Just get as many ships on the board as you can. And that really led to its whole sort of thing, and that's what kind of led to the turrets and everything. So it's kind of a steep slope. So we don't necessarily want to see just lots of ships being dominant. We want to see a mix of some ships that are really great with a bunch of upgrades and some ships that are really great by themselves. We don't just want to see it all on one side.
Right. And I think that's where the adjustable points come in, right?
Yeah.
Because if FFG is noticing that like zero upgrades are being played, let's over exaggerate, right? Zero upgrades are being played, all upgrade prices are going down. Right? So that'll be interesting. So last question to go around the horn here. What is a ship or maybe an archetype that you are looking forward to flying in second edition?
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm super excited about flying 5 or 6 TIE bombers in a list. Because, you know, flying it in 1.0 was like you're trying to wrestle a pig with those TIE bombers, you know, with the 3 hards being their only white turn. And in 2.0, the TIE bombers have a 2 hard that's white. And I know that barrage rockets aren't the same as unguided rockets, and I know that there's no lightweight frame, so there's a disadvantage there. But I think that 5 or 6 TIE bombers is going to be something I can play for a while and really enjoy, and I am going to be very excited to see how that goes for me. It's a new landscape there, and I'm also interested and excited about being able to fly Redline and maybe some other Punishers. I've flown a couple of games with Redline in it, and whew.
Maybe
I'm excited.
Maybe like a Punisher bomber.
That's
mix
what I got.
List,
yeah,
right?
That's what I got going on right now.
I guess interceptors, TIE interceptors.
Uh-huh.
What I came into the game flying. They're the most fragile of all the aces. Poor little 3 hull upgrades or hull points, but yeah, I don't know.
You're probably going to be wanting to buy some hull upgrades and shield upgrades for those things, most likely.
No, I got to keep it simple. Stealth. Stealth. Only or no balls.
Stealth or no ball. All in the dice, baby.
I'm probably one of the only people here that hasn't had a chance to play a 2.0 game yet. But honestly, I'm really excited to fly Luke Skywalker. Like, growing up, absolutely loved Luke and Han, but I absolutely loved Luke. And the fact that in the game, he was effectively terrible in 1.0. I'm excited to actually be able to play one of my childhood heroes and have it actually be functionally good in the game. So honestly, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to.
I tried a couple of 2.0 games and I usually just got rocked. And like, I tried to play like, you know, the 3 aces and I was like, I'm not liking this. And then I played against Nathan. And I'm like, wait, Nathan, he's got the Gold Squadron Special Bark too. And as I'm watching him play, I'm like, that's what I would do. That's what I would do. I'm like, why am I even playing this? His list feels like home again. And I'm excited to try to go back home and try out Gold Squadron Mark II. That's going to be great.
Nathaniel.
Yes.
We're home.
We're home again. We're home.
Chewie. We're home.
With the release of Clone Wars, I'm actually just hoping for a generic ARC 170.
Okay. I mean, maybe, right? It'll be like Clone Trooper... something or another. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. I think it's safe to say Star Vipers.
Yeah.
They made Guri an ace.
Yes.
An actual ace.
Yep.
They did see that I had prayed to the baby Jesus many days. And they did shine upon me everything I could have asked for. Except for the massive price increase.
Well, did
massive
you...
price increase. I did the math. Way more than everybody else. Way more. But yeah. Still.
It's still quite good.
It's still good. And of course, everything, A-Wings, so, Interceptors, all the stuff I remember playing early on.
This mattered. In last Wednesday, I got absolutely smashed by Boba Fett and two, it wasn't Guri, but two of the Black Sun Assassin Star Vipers. Like, it was, go watch it. It's on our YouTube page. I just absolutely got trounced.
That's www.youtube.com/GoldSquadronPodcast.
Actually, there's a /C/GoldSquadronPodcast for some reason. I didn't put it there.
It's because he did it on the Canadian site.
I would have to say Vader.
Okay.
Because he's the most iconic ship in Star Wars, and it'll be great to see him on board again.
So I also don't have any games in 2.0, and I own zero 2.0 stuff outside of that unopened...
TIE Reaper,
yeah. So I don't know what's out there yet. I just started playing with List Juggler this week, and I started sending some lists out. So I think what I'm looking forward to is I like to challenge myself to always go against...
Yeah, do something a little different.
So, looking forward to kind of finding something that'll just kind of raise some eyebrows and be like, eh?
Where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans?
Coming up events, we have this upcoming weekend, the Nova Open, the final first edition event streamed by Gold Squadron Podcast. We'll see you starting on Friday for that. That's August 31st. Registration for the Minock Open is open. That's November 3rd, 2018. Sign up before September 15th to get all their goodies. Gold Squadron Classic! Woo! Happens September 22nd. Event registration is open. Go to goldsquadronpodcast.com to get that. And you can watch all of our live X-Wing events on twitch.tv/goldsquadronpodcast. Remember to renew that Twitch Prime button every 30 days. You can watch all of our X-Wing videos and replays of our streams on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. And lastly, and most importantly, if you enjoy the show, all the content we bring, go to patreon.com/goldsquadron. Thank you to everybody who's taking the time to do that. My name's Dion, and for Marcel, Al, Jeremy, Rich, Sarah, Allie, Nate, Blaine, Brandon, Elliot, and Nathan, my name's Dion Morales. Gold Squadron! Oh.